discuss a bit of, I think, the connection. Welcome to our honorable members who are logged into this joint portfolio committee meetings. We have the minister and his department to actually take us through a particular briefing. But let me open and welcome my colleague, Honorable Ndaba, who is the chairperson of the other portfolio committee, the Portfolio Committee on Women, Youth and People with Disabilities, who, after I have given this welcome and got attendance register of the members of the Portfolio Committee of Health, she will then take over to introduce and indicate the presence of the members from her portfolio committee, and then we'll invite the minister for this briefing that we are having today. Thank you very much. This is an important briefing, and we want to thank the minister for actually finding space and time to brief us. The portfolio committee of health shifted one of other programs that we need to do, the pre-RRR report, so that we could get this one. So we'll do that, colleagues, next week. May I then check with our secretary as to who actually has logged in from our side, if there are any apologies, to note those apologies. Just to say, this weekend we had two big cakes. On Saturday it was Mama Shengwa who had a birthday, and then yesterday, on Monday, we had another big cake from Honorable Munyai, and we have asked them to ship these cakes to us, and they will get the addresses from us when we finish here. Thank you very much. Ms. Matalamba, if you could give us an update on our attendance and then apologies. Thereafter, Honorable Ndaba will take over from me.
Good morning, and thank you, Chair. Present is Dr. S.M. Dlomo, Mr. Munyai, Ms. Gela, Ms. Kwahube, Ms. Wilson, Ms. Ishmael, Mr. Van Staden, Mr. Imam, and Mr. Imam Sheikh. Other members have not logged in yet. I've received an apology from Ms. Chirwa. She is not well and has been booked off. Mr. and Ms. Zucker. I've also received another apology for the Deputy Minister. He is attending the Child Health Priorities Conference. Present also is Dr. Tembe Kwayo. Thank you, Chair. Okay.
Honorable Chairperson.
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Dr. Jacobs is not feeling well. He's pretty sick. So I'm sorry that it didn't arrive to the secretary.
Okay. No, noted. Thanks. Those apologies and attendance. May I now hand over to my co-chair, who will then deal with the attendance, and then will then later invite the minister. It's very interesting that the honourable chair has more information on this topic that we are about to discuss, because they are the committee that was once visited by the commission on this matter. So if then her opening remarks might also be inclusive of that, that will also be very much helpful to us. Thank you very much, Honorable Ndaba.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Good morning, Minister and Deputy Minister, if you are present, and good morning, honourable members. And I'm just taking my phone, if whether there are any apologies from our portfolio committee. Unless our committee secretary is here, she can then assist me with the apologies. Neliswa, can you help us with the apologies, if there are any?
Good morning, Chairperson, the members. I have not received any apologies from the Portfolio Committee on Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much, Chair. I think there are no apologies from our side, and maybe we can continue with our meeting without any waste of time, because now I'm not sure what is it that I must say, Chair, but maybe honorable members, they know why are we here today, and we will be expecting the department is because of the report that was tabled by CGE to our portfolio committee, but also we saw it in the media, and I'm sure, Chair, even in your portfolio committee, CGE, maybe they've tried to present the report. They came to present the report, but with our portfolio committee, they came to present the report. And we thought that today, maybe because the department is here, the minister is here, we'll then get allow the minister to come in so that they then we can get the response from the department. Over to you, Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Both chairpersons of the portfolio committees, honorable members. Let me say we appreciate the opportunity to share on a progress report on this matter. We have been receiving questions and request from members of the portfolio committee to deal with this matter because of the excuse me, I'm sorry about that. So we have been receiving lots of queries, and also there's been also media queries on the matter. Just to give a brief summary on this, we had a discussion with the CG, with the Commission for Gender Equality, when we had released a statement. So we invited them to a meeting earlier on in the year, and we had the meeting. They then showed us the the report that they had compiled. At that time, the report was a bit difficult to comprehend, so we had asked for further information from the commission. Unfortunately, then COVID-19 kicked in, and in the process, we ended up not having much communication with the commission. But when we ultimately did, we then were able to find a little bit more clarity in the matter, and therefore we're taking it seriously. To start off with, it's important to mention that there is no policy in the department that would allow any woman to be forcefully sterilized for any reason. The issue of sterilization is governed by law, and therefore it has to be based on a consent signed and witnessed, and it must be done before the operation gets to be to be conducted. That only under a few extreme situations of life-saving emergency intervention would a woman end up with the capacity to procreate being terminated by the surgical intervention, and there are not many. So we were concerned about this matter. However, we had noticed that efforts to try and investigate it have not really given us something that is concrete. Although there have been a number of complaints reported, the department was not privy to the affidavits of those individuals, and in some instances, not all the identities of the individuals were involved. Nevertheless, the CGE, the commission had done some investigation working with some officials in the department. There was quite a debate about whether there was adequate cooperation and so on. But when I looked at the matter afterwards, I got a sense that this was a difficult investigation. Firstly, The allegations or the complaints referred to many years ago, for which lots of records are not available, and lots of individuals who could have been in the service at that time might no longer be around, either retired, passed away, or maybe could even not remember much about what would have happened, because it's a very few number compared to the total number of operations that get done in a hospital. Nevertheless, we took the matter up, went into all the records inside the department, went interviewed all the people who could have been involved during the time, and it came more or less to the same issue, that is, the records are not easy to find, and therefore, because of the time lapse. And so we then decided we're going to take an approach basically that says that we will take forward the recommendations of the commission, and the DG is going to walk through that to indicate what we have done. And we've taken all the steps that were recommended by the Commission for Gender Equality. And in that process, we even set up an additional process to be able to further analyze whatever information was available. I am very grateful that the commission was willing now to share some of the affidavits. So that has just come in about a few days now. So we'll still be doing work there. So the presentation by the Director General is going to indicate how we've dealt with the recommendations, and we've dealt with almost all of them from the Commission for Gender Equality. We've taken further steps which we believe would be important in the in terms of defending the human rights of all the individuals, particularly women, to make sure that all of those steps are taken, and that will indicate what we will be taking or we'll be doing going forward. So I'm going to request at this point that we ask the Director General to come through and give us a presentation. I will comment a little bit after that and then open up for further clarifications and questions from the committee. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Dr. Buthelezi is on standby as far as I'm aware already.
Thank you very much, Minister.
Thank you very much, Minister. Good morning, Honourable Chairs and Honourable Members. I will request that I be allowed to share the screen by the Secretariat. I would like to check if my screen is visible, Honourable Chair.
We can see it, Dr. Buthelezi.
Thank you very much. The Minister has covered the background that there were actually some complaints of alleged forced or coerced sterilization in two provinces. And then the Commission went through an investigation process, which we later learned that it was jointly done with the department. And what we also learned was that draft reports were shared with the department prior to the production of the final report, which was released in February. However, there were no inputs from the department despite several follow-ups from the commission. So when the report was released in February, the minister, the deputy minister, and the ministry officials were seeing the report for the first time. So we are actually doing some work to try and correct that issue. And then after receiving the report, the minister, of course, did meet with the commission. But also in March, the minister appointed two advocates just to provide an opinion on the matter. Then with the disruption of COVID-19, the matter was not finalized in terms of getting the opinion. Then in August, the minister wrote to the CGE requesting more information on the matter so that he could be able to synthesize and process the recommendation. During the same period, After obtaining the names of the 18 complainants whose complaints were investigated, the minister wrote to all of the hospitals involved, asking them to make the records available to his office so that they could be followed up. Of the 18 complainants, 9 patient files were located. 3 of the names were found in the hospital register with no files, and 6 could not be located. To follow up on that, as the minister mentioned, a renowned professor who's the head of department was asked to actually do an independent assessment of the available records, interrogating the files, reviewing the medical history, checking the consent forms, whether they were signed, whether the consent form was signed, interrogate where it was signed, interrogate whether medically it was reasonable and justified for those patients to be sterilized, but also just start identifying the clinicians who were involved with these patients. Then also to ensure completeness of the matter, the minister then also wrote to the commission to request the affidavits, which now have been provided, even though we've only received 14 affidavits out of the number that was purported to be there. But those affidavits were received now in November, and the task team is actually looking at those affidavits just to get deeper into the matter as part of taking the matter forward. Now, the commission has made a number of recommendations which the members are aware of. I think the first two really were looking at the two statutory councils that actually are responsible or are tasked with managing the conduct of the health professional, which is the HPCSA and the Nursing Council. And we must also mention that the minister did write to the two statutory councils to establish if they'd seen the report and what progress had been made. And they did acknowledge, but we've also noted that the CGE themselves, in their recent press release, they did mention that they've had actually an interaction with the two statutory councils on the matter. Then the third recommendation was looking at the provisions of the Sterilization Act and allowing the department to ensure that they check that it is relevant and must report within 3 months to the commission. Then the number 6 recommendation, I will come to number 4 and 5. The 6th recommendation was asked us to look at the consent form themselves, whether they are in line with the guidelines provided by International Federation of Gynecology and Obstetrics and standardized for all sterilization procedures. And also they requested that these forms should actually be translated into all official languages, where the explanation around the procedure, particularly its irreversible nature, should be given in the language of choice. And this must be executed and attested to. I must mention that in my recent meeting with the commission, that in addition, they've requested that we should consider the Braille also, that there's translation into Braille of these forms. Then number 7, NDOH must make it an operational policy requirement that when a patient agrees to sterilization, they must be given a cooling off period in order to fully apprehend the risks and consequences of the procedure. And then standard timeframes to be put in place in relation to when the discussion around sterilization should take place. Patient cannot be informed about this process minutes before going to theater. Patient must be informed that they are at liberty to change their minds at any time before the procedure takes place. Then in terms of the implementation progress, in terms of 3, 6, 7, and 8 recommendations, a legal opinion has been obtained on the appropriateness of the Sterilization Act and its provisions on the consent. And then both National Health Act and Sterilization Act, they do highlight the importance of consent prior to procedure being performed. And the department has actually reviewed the consent forms and they have been shared even with the committee of experts. And with the forms, as we are speaking now, are currently with PenSalp for proper translation. And they will be standardized right across the country. And these forms are now ready. After they get the actual translation, then we'll take it further from them. The standard operating procedure to be followed by all healthcare workers in public health facilities for sterilization procedures is being developed. This was supposed to be presented yesterday in the National Health Council. It is already there, but there is one or two issues that we need to clear before then. However, we have shared all these documents with the CGE, and we've told them that it's work in progress. As soon as they are signed off, they will then have the final documents in place. But they do have, because they requested that, at least they need to see that we are actually dealing with the matter. Hence, we've shared the documents that are there already. Then recommendation 4 and 5, the NDOH upon receipt of the report must facilitate dialogue between themselves and the complainants in order for them to find ways of providing redress. The Commission will represent this report as part of its petition to the SALRC for amendments to legislation to ensure that consent is properly obtained, such as cancelling prior to consent, timing of obtaining the consent and compulsory information that it must be provided. The Minister is actually finalizing appointment of a team that consists of an obstetrician, a psychologist, a social worker, a religious leader, for them to be able to start with the engagement. They will be, once they do this, they will actually offer emotional, spiritual counseling and also ensure that they establish what further remedy is required within the ambit of the law in terms of the redress process. Then the 9th recommendation was that we must ensure that our filing systems, both manual and electronic, they are able to be standardized for coordination, and then we're supposed to give feedback within 3 months of this report. And in terms of the progress, this is a broader approach to the amendment and the digitalization of the health patient records, which is part of the National Health Insurance. And this work is being done, and there is some progress, which we did report also in our annual report. So it's a process of ensuring that we integrate hospital patient information systems of the patient's history or any consent forms or any other forms, including the laboratory test, all are kept within the system and are easily retrieved by authorized health workers who have access to the system and who are treating the patient at any public health facility. Just as a matter of fact, we must mention that on the 12th of November, we did meet as the team led by myself with the chairperson of the commission, and we briefed them, and we have agreed on a joint way forward. And I must also comment that they have actually mentioned that there are now extra complaints that have come in, and they want to work with the department to investigate those additional complaints that have since resurfaced. I would like to thank you, Honorable Chair, and hand back to the Honorable Chair.
Chairperson, thank you very much. That indicates the state of our implementation of the Commission's recommendations, which has been shared with the Commission, and we have indicated that we will continue to process the issue, and we have indicated the Professor Sebutlane, who is managing the analysis, who will continuously assess to what extent we can find concrete evidence of the allegations, and in the process channel those accordingly. I think it should be understood that as government, we would be in the forefront of ensuring that if there is any breach of the human rights, that if there is redress, that that our policies are monitored properly, so that some conduct that is outside the provision of our policy is kept. And so we will do the continuous engagement. The real challenge with this particular case has been the paucity of information and also the availability of records, which are very old, as well as the more detailed information that could allow us to reconstruct some of those situations, which also is a very limited issue as well. But nevertheless, we thought that it was important to share the progress at this point, and so we hand it back to you, Chairperson, for further guidance on the matter. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Minister and DG. I think before I give honourable members an opportunity to ask questions, honourable minister, I've got one question that I want to ask the department. What is the role of the ombudsman, given the findings that emerged from CGE's report?
Oh, thank you very much. I should have mentioned that issue. The ombudsman will only become relevant when we've got something concrete that indicates that there was any form of transgression that it would need to be investigated, and therefore we would refer the matters of that level when necessary, or if any of the complainants would have filed directly to the ombudsman on the same issue. It would still need that we must analyze it and then give as much of that information to the ombudsman as such. So the role of the ombudsman is, once any of these are analyzed and we feel that there's a need for an ombudsman to go further into a matter based on our analysis or by this team, then of course, then that's when it becomes quite relevant at that point. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Minister. I now give honourable members an opportunity to ask questions in this order. Honourable Ishmael, Honourable Wilson, Honourable Van Staden, Honourable Khwarube, Honourable Dr. Thembe Kwayo, Honourable Gela, and Honourable Mnyai. I don't know whether there are other members that I have not, or Honourable Honourable Primrose, and Honourable Sheriff, Honourable Masiko. Yeah, I think who else I haven't noted. Yeah, in that order, honourable members.
Sorry, Chair Mkweba.
Oh, honourable Mkweba, you'll be the last one. Honourable Ishmael.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, and thank you for the presentation.
Okay, ma.
Okay, I just some clarity seeking questions here, Minister. I note that, the presentation states that all patients' files were not easily available. And this tells us that we don't actually know how many women were really, affected and, violated, if I can say it in that way, throughout the country. Here's the National Department of Health actually asked each and every hospital, just for us to have a basis on how many women were sterilized at each hospital for that time frame, and those that were obviously HIV positive, just for us to have, there are many women out there that actually suffer but don't say anything. And there are many women out there that now will decide, something has been done to me, and, I should be able to take a step forward to say something. That is the reason I'm asking that question. And you have mentioned doctors and nurses that were implicated that may have already left practice, but does the department know exactly how many doctors and nurses were implicated, and if the department did have any contact with them or they're still in practice, what has the department done to address this issue with them? And then another question is the patients that the files or the affidavits that the department already has that they've received, has anything been done by the department to, reach out to these patients so that they can, receive some such psychological support, just to assist them throughout their life going forward? There are also allegations of patients' files disappearing. And how is the department going to address this matter, ensuring that this does not happen again? I mean, what consequence management is put in place by the department to ensure that we don't face the same, predicament again? I know there are many very good recommendations that are set out. I just want to know, we always have very good things on paper, but implementation is another story. So are there any timelines for all the recommendations that are set out and for implementation? I note the department has said more affidavits have come forward.
Ismail.
It's just the last one.
Other person needs to ask questions too.
How many affidavits were handed over to the department, to the task team? And the last point is, can the Oversight Committee please receive quarterly reports on this matter? Thank you.
Honorable Wilson? Honorable Wilson? Honorable members, can you hear me?
Yes, Chair. Yes, you can hear me now, Chair.
Very well.
Oh, okay. We are calling Honorable Wilson.
Thank you, Chair. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Thank you, Chair. I think I'm basically covered by the Honorable Ismail with a lot of my questions. I have two major concerns. First of all, the fact that anybody is being sterilized without their permission is the most unholy breach of any human right. That it is a decision that a person is entitled to make by themselves. And the fact that anybody even thought that they could sterilize a person without permission is incomprehensible. I just find it so, so shocking that this has happened. My other concern is the fact that there are no details or files available for these patients. I hear the minister and the DG saying that, you know, some of these are old and they can't trace the files. That's not acceptable. What it does show is what an unholy mess the departments and the hospitals and the clinics are in. And have been for a long time. This we've known that files can't even be found. I mean, I've done oversights at clinics and hospitals where I've found boxes of files stacked in toilets. So we need to start at the very basics and sort out the mess of our systems and the monitoring and evaluation of what is happening in these hospitals and our systems, and the fact that patients' files cannot be found, I don't care how old they are, is just unacceptable. If one has to go looking in a toilet in a bunch of boxes to find a file, well, then you must know that we've got a problem from day one. And I need to know, the questions have been covered by Honorable Ismail, but those women who have been treated like this, who are unable to have children again, regardless of whether they want it or not, need to have some degree of compensation. And I don't care if people have retired, they need to be held account. And I agree, we need a regular report on this. We need to know exactly what is being done about it and exactly who is being held accountable for it. The situation is horrific. It's on the same level as gender-based violence as far as I'm concerned. It's unacceptable. It's a breach of human rights and something needs to be done about this urgently.
Honorable Wilson, maybe if you can help us with the specific name of the hospital or a clinic where you have seen files kept in the toilet so that the department can be able to deal with that immediately.
It's a very long list. You can have it with pleasure.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Van Staden.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you for this opportunity. This is a very serious matter, and as a man in this country myself, I think what is happening here with the women of our country is a huge violation of human rights which is going on. This is the worst matter of violation of human rights I've ever seen in my life going on in South Africa. And I think it's very disturbing to see such things happening in a democratic South Africa still today in our hospitals and clinics over the country. I have just three questions, Madam Chairperson, if you will allow me. I presume the National Department of Health has conducted its own investigation into this matter. And if so, when and how far is this investigation? Will the matter be taken further so that the law enforcement authorities do what needed to be done so that justice can be served and the necessary arrest can be made to people who have done these violations? And can this health committee and this other committee as well get an updated report, say monthly or quarterly, on these investigations which is going on? Thank you, Madam Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Fakhtaden. Honourable Khwarube.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm sorry I can't switch on my video due to issues around my bandwidth. I have just a couple of questions. The one is, we know that there has been a strained relationship over this matter between the CGE and the Department of Health. And I know that the CGE at some point came out and said that the department wasn't cooperating. So I'd love to hear from the minister how that has been remedied, because obviously these two entities are working together in this investigation, and it's important that we understand that they are now both singing from the same tune. Then the second issue is the location of the complainants, and the fact that, you know, the returns of locating those people was so dismal. Out of 48 complaints, and the fact that only 3 could be located, is an indictment on our e-filing system, which is not something that is new, quite frankly. This is something that the department, a policy that the department has, and a strategy that the department has had for a couple of years now. And so this, it does really point to a crisis, that the fact that we cannot locate people who have come up, who we cannot locate their medical files. And I think that what is going to be important over and above, I've seen what the CGE has recommended, and I've heard what the DG has said in terms of some of the implementations of the risk recommendations. But I think we need to ask the department to take this a bit further, Chair. We need a situation where the department is asking women who have been victims of this gross violation of their human rights to come forward in order for them to come and give evidence to this effect. I think it's not enough to simply just deal with the complaints that are in existence. I think that we need to open up this process, because I think this is something that has been happening in the country for a very long time. And I think if the department is really serious about stamping it out in facilities, and is really serious about making sure that those people get the reconciliation and also their compensation that they deserve, they will open up this process. And then the last thing, Chairperson, that I want to ask, the minister has given some kind of clarity on the involvement of the health ombudsman, almost saying that the ombudsman is not involved at this level of the investigation as yet. And as though this is, you know, it can be escalated to the health ombudsman. I think that the reconciliation process that the department is seeking to roll out is hardly adequate for the crime that has been committed here. I think that in an interface with the department and support from a religious leader is not what some of these patients will need, and that some of these patients need to be compensated, and they need to be given assurance that their complaints will be escalated to the various channels, even if it means that they are able to sue for medical legal costs, because we can't simply try and settle this as a separate matter. This is a gross violation of human rights, and the department must be able to be open to accepting this and accepting the blame for some of what has happened. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kwarube. Honourable Dr. Tembewayo.
Chairperson, thank you very much for the opportunity. My voice is a bit not audible enough, but I'll try and put my points through. Okay. I just would like to say to the minister, old loss records versus inhumane and degrading treatment, emotionally unforgettable scars, and or socially and economically affected lives of the poor Black women should be taken into consideration, and accountability on the part of the perpetrators, inclusive of the compensation of those affected. Yes, The minister said that according to the policy, no one would be allowed to undergo forceful operation without being witnessed and given a chance to sign for that. But you didn't explain on this life-saving emergency, because that will be a catchment point for the doctors to say we were saving lives during an emergency. Just to ask the minister, is the process of witnessing and the signing not important or considered under life-saving emergency? And I had the DG reporting on only 18 complainants, but according to me, the documented cases that were reported by on a Commission of Gender Equality, it's 48. So I just would like to know, where are the 30 and the others? We are in possession of the list of the 48, and they are all available, and they have their own affidavits. They know where the operations was done, by whom and when. And I just want to know, to say, if we are not interested in knowing whether the doctors and whoever have died or relocated or what has happened, but we would like to know the accountability on their part, Minister. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Tembekwayo. Honorable Geller.
Thank you very much, Chair. My apology for not showing my face due to network. Chairperson, let me welcome the report and also thank the Minister for briefing us as a portfolio committee on health and also on women. Chairperson, I just want to check with the Minister that a person can be sterilized without signing the proper document or being consulted whether you want to sterilize or not. Why I'm asking that, Chair, is because I know that in our public facility, when you want to sterilize, they ask you first, actually, whether if you consider what you want to do or what. They ask you several times, but if I can just get that response, Chairperson. The other issue, Chairperson, I'm not going to repeat the issue of 48 complainant, and you have just get 18. And the other one, Chairperson, and I'm happy that the minister, there's something that he's doing for appointing a team that will deal with this issue of psychology, social workers, and also religious, so that at least we keep on getting reports and being updated of what is happening regarding the sterilization. But I think, Chairperson, because I'm one of the person who did that, and I was asked several times, if you consider what you want to do, you know that what you want to do, and really I was aware and sure what I want to do. So I don't agree with the issue of saying that people were forced to do a sterilization without being considered. But we'll get a report, Chairperson, so that at least we know actually what is happening in our public facility. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Geller. Honorable Minyai.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Firstly, in the first light of the department acknowledged that they have briefed Advocate P. Ngogaitobi and YPA. And I have a report here from the SABC News, that in showing him, you know, parading with Dalimpofu as a representative of the people that were sterilized, Doesn't that present a conflict of interest? And if that is true, I will propose that the department indeed report this advocate to the Judiciary Commission, because this is an ethical, it's a conflict of interest. If indeed...
Point of order, Chairperson.
No, can you allow me to speak, please?
Chairperson, can I interdict? This has got nothing to do with what Darlene Pope is doing. It has got nothing to do with it. Can you withdraw it?
No.
Honorable Dr. Tembewayo, give Honorable Nyai a chance to speak.
Advocate Mugai Tovi, right? So this, if it is true that he was briefed by the department and is parading himself there and trying to represent the sterilized people, this constitutes a conflict of interest, and he must, the department accordingly, through their legal team, report him through the Judiciary Commission, because this is not allowed in law. The second thing,
Honorable Chairperson,
what is this disorder now by the doctor?
No, continue, Honorable Mnyai.
But the other thing, the report, for the completeness of the report, I saw the report from the commission that you are talking about, ECG. That report is poorly written. It doesn't have the names of the people. And it is really, I think it has a lot of weaknesses, which I also propose that this commission must really bring them here before the portfolio committee to engage them, because their report is very poor. It's not, it have a lot of gaps that I don't want to go through at this time. And we know, Honorable Chair, there are some certain organizations who are mobilizing people, mobilizing them and trying to bring them as the complainant before the department. But that is the issue for the other day. Let me come to the issues that I want to put forward now. Some of the political parties or the representatives, they are trying to parade themselves here as the human rights activists. And I think some of the organizations were a lot of suppressive representing the apartheid regime here, forgetting that is the ANC government that brought up this called human rights. But if some here that are trying to play in the politics would want to get that investigation to go back as far as apartheid regime period, because some should not yet turn blind eye as if their party were not leading apartheid oppressive regime. We cannot have a regular report here on this meeting as if we are reopening a commission. We'll get this issue and processed, and when we need the report accordingly, that should be informed. But to have a report as if really we're opening up a commission, that will not be allowed. And I think I want to put it forward that we all know that it's not the policy of the department to sterilize people without their consent. We all know that. But the second issue is that with regard to the medical record, Dr. Andrews, a DGG from the department in our previous portfolio committee, she put forward the digitization program of the department, amongst others, to make sure that even the medical record should be put forward. Again, this is the recommendation of the department of digitization to be able to deal with these issues. I don't think we can blame the department at the genesis of the inheritance of the paper data. Okay, I'm wrapping up.
Excuse me, Chairperson, on a point of order, please. Can I get some order, please, Chairperson? We don't set the department as... The point of order is, we don't set the department as conduct these things. I was simply asking
is the Department of National Department of Health investigating these matters? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Van Staden.
I was not even referring to Honorable Van Staden. I don't know why he was rising, but no problem. I'm wrapping up, Honorable Chair. All I'm saying, we should endorse the recommendation of the department, and department are doing their best to act on the interests of our people as per outlined by the commission. But they must engage the commission further. Their report is incomplete due to the gaps that we have observed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mnyai. Honorable Masigo.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Greetings to yourself and all members present in this platform. Honorable Chairperson, I think one must start by raising one of the concerns that we've long had as members of the Portfolio Committee for Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities. And that was the fact that on continuous occasions, CGE had raised the matter that they were struggling to meet with the Department of Health. So I think one is quite pleased, Chairperson, today to learn that, amongst other things, as much as the report was submitted late to the Department of Health, progress has been made with regard, Chairperson, to implementation of the recommendations that have been raised arising from the findings. That's the first one, Honorable Chairperson. The second one, that we also need to get assistance, Chairperson, from CGE itself, because we cannot leave all of everything to the Department of Health, because some of these issues really doesn't fall within their mandate. And that is the issue of how widespread is the practice in the country. I know that Honorable Ismail had raised the fact that how many women have really been affected. We are hearing, Honorable Chairperson, from both CGE and also from media platforms, that there are new cases that are coming up. The issue, Chairperson, here is that we might think that we are dealing with 48 or 18 cases. We are not sure how many exactly cases we are having. But while addressing that, you will then have the sporadic cases coming out across the country, because we know that the report currently is covering only two provinces, which is Gauteng and KZN. So it would be important for CGE to actually take us into confidence on whether what's the approach that is going to be used in dealing with the new cases that are coming up, or whether the investigation will now be rolled out throughout the provinces. The third issue, Chairperson, is that the CGE had reported the fact that they had engaged the regulating bodies, which is the Health Professions Council of South Africa, as well as the South African Nursing Council, in relation, Chairperson, to their members who are the medical staff who have breached their duty of care. And we are hearing also that they have not responded in terms of responding to the reports that CGE has forwarded to them. What one would like to know is whether the Department of Health has held any bilaterals with these regulating bodies in relation to this report. The second to last issue, Chairperson, one would like to speak to is the issue of, yes, it was based on the reporting period or the progress report on how we will be, as these two oversight bodies, which is women and health, how do we then plan to receive the progress reports from the Department of Health and also the CGE, because I think it's important for us to add those timelines in terms of us performing our oversight duties. Lastly, Chairperson, I think it's important for us to really endorse these recommendations from the Department of Health, as well as the status on the implementation of the recommendations. I'm happy, Chairperson, as much as they have been raised, I will again a request that we do add, because some of them are long-term and we are also having those that are short-term. And one that is short-term that I'm really happy with and I would like to see it being implemented with speed is the issue of addressing the reviewers, Chairperson, of the consent forms in all official languages. Because you would find, Chairperson, that it's reported that in most cases, these women have signed consent. But the issue is that some of them did not understand what they were signing for. So whilst we are progressing with dealing with the report, it's important for the Department of Health to start reviewing some of the issues that have proved to be a problem as reported in the findings. And that is making sure that all the consent forms are written in all official languages so that women are able to both interpret and agree to something that they know and fully understand too. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Masiko and Honorable Sharif.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to all the colleagues.
Sorry, Chair.
Hello, Ma'am Sondi.
My hand was before even Honorable Masiko. Now you jump again, you call Honorable Sheriff.
Oh, sorry, my apologies, Ma'am Sondi. Honorable Sheriff, let's give Ma'am Sondi first.
No problem, Chair.
Okay. Over to you, Ma'am Sondi.
Ndiyabulela, Chair. Ndizawubuza straight ku-Minister of Health, Dr. Zweli Mkhize. Doctor, amanina ahlukumeziwe. Ahlukunyeziwe kakhulu ngu-government. Kakhulukazi abo bafunyenwe benegciwane lengculaza. Ngokuba kugqitywe ngabo or kuvunyelwane ngokuba bakhutshwe izibeleko ngaphandle kwemvume yabo kwakunye nemvumelwano yabalingane babo abo batshatiweyo. As a result, Minister, abaninji baphelelwe yimitshato. Abanye bathola imitshato after de-sterilization. Kube kufuneka abantwana emva koko. Akusena chance yoba bangathola abantwana. Ukuhlukumezeka oko ke, Minister. And akukho apho kunobunyani bokokuba aba bantu xa bekhulelwe basemngciphekweni wokufa. Bakhona bayaphila, Minister, banabantwana abahle. Uthini ke ngabo? Ubanxephezela ngantoni abo ba-affected in this sterilization without any imvume yokokuba mababe benziwa leyo nto leyo ngokokuba bathelelwe bubuntu babo. Ndiyabulela Chairperson ngondinike eli thuba. Inkosi kakhulu.
Honorable Sharif.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to all the colleagues. Let me try and get through this as quick as I can. But let me start by reminding some honourable members that the CGE is a Chapter 9 institution outlined and given a mandate by our constitution. And so their mandate is to investigate and report on violations of women's rights. And this is exactly what's been happening. So for honourable members to come to this meeting and try and minimize and poke holes in the report of the CGE cannot be accepted, Chairperson. This is the CGE's job and their mandate to speak to Parliament and to report to Parliament on the gross violations of women's rights. And let's not forget that women's rights are human rights. So it's not only has to do with the women that are involved. Every single person has the responsibility to deal with this matter. Let me start by asking the Minister, why did it take so many years for the Department of Health to cooperate with the CGE? It's not as if you only found out about this report in March when the report was released. This investigation has been happening and it's been going on since I think 2017, if I'm not mistaken. The TGE report and investigation provides evidence. I mean, Chairperson Daba, we went through the report in March this year, and the TGE came to report to us, and they gave us the evidence, and they gave us, you know, exactly what's been happening. And the minister agreed this morning in his address that they've been given affidavits. So the fact that we need to prove that this is happening is long gone. It is happening. The question now is, what do we do? How do we ensure that these women are assisted? And how do we make sure that this doesn't happen ever again in any of our hospitals? Number three, Chairperson, lost files are a massive problem. But I'm not surprised that we would have such inadequate record keeping. I want to find out from the department, what is the way forward? How will you ensure that this doesn't happen again? And what are you using in terms of technological advancements for assistance? We're in 2020, Minister Mkhize. 2020, surely we must be able to use the cloud, or we must be able to use technological advancements to ensure that we have a more effective public service. It can't be that we're writing in papers and they're finding it in toilets. It's madness. I can't even begin to tell you my frustration about that. Number four, consent. Honourable members, this is the main source of the problem, is consent. When we do not provide adequate consent, things like this happen. So the process of signing these consent forms is problematic. Often, number one, human beings, normal civilians, normal citizens, can't understand what these consents are saying. There's always a rush that these need to be signed. So they're telling the patient, you need to sign it because we need to take you into surgery right now. And there's no explanation of what the women are signing. And so after they come out of the surgery, then they find out that they don't have the uterus and their womb has been taken out. And they're like, oh, but you signed this consent. And they didn't even know what they were signing. I mean, wow, this doesn't even make sense in my mind. And so I want to find out, has the department interrogated and scrutinized the provision of the Sterilization Act, as well as the consent forms? Department, have you checked these consent forms? Have you gone through it? Have you analyzed it? And have you seen where some of the gaps will be? Again, just like Honorable Masiko, will these consent forms be in all official languages? That speaks to access. And what interventions has the Department of Health put in place to allow for a cooling off period so that women can take their time to understand these consent forms, women can take their time to balance what are the risks of having a sterilization, what are the risks of not having one? Is this happening and why is this not happening? And then the last one is, what, since March, since this report has been released, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, in the 9 months, what has the Department of Health done to train nurses and doctors to ensure that this doesn't happen anymore? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sheriff. Honorable Mamsangwa?
Mkweba?
Aye, Mkweba was a trainer. Let's have Mamsangwa.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me greet you, Chairperson, and greet the Minister Karazana and the whole committee.
Excuse me, Chairperson. I'm sorry, Ma'am Shengwa. I'm very, very sorry. We do have a bit of a challenge. Both myself and the DG should be presenting the coronavirus update report to the National Coronavirus Council in the next few minutes. I wanted to request that we release the Director General so that he can stand in. I will continue this side, then he'll apologize for me. So as soon as we're done, I'll then go back and join that meeting. I just don't want to see him disappearing, but it would be important for us to be able to get that report tabled by either myself or Director General.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay,
sorry, Minister, to interrupt, madam.
No, it's fine.
Thank you. First of all, let me welcome the presentation. And this is very much giving us as a women upset. Having said that, In all this, we need to see or deal with a way forward or dealing with a plan together for the dealing with the issue. If you can look 48 and 18, that is a huge gap. Need the students and do advocacy about this. Because people, when we look about traditional leaders, abafundisi, some of them, they don't go to churches. Some of them, they go somewhere. And the umfundisi, we are such a kutshelwa iqiniso. Now, it is our duty on my side to say that we must go out and do advocacy and do a thorough education. Because in some years back, Chairperson, there is a family planning which all we go through. But when we are going to take that family planning, they will ask you whether there is an agreement between you and what. And this one was no agreement. There is no even that advocacy, even education. Therefore, on my side, I think lack of accountability here, lack of leadership display here. Therefore, we as a committee, coming from the people, we must go and assist the department and CGE to come together and do this advocate. Sometimes we will got those who were hiding. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mamhlengwa. Over to you, Honorable Mgweba.
No, thank you very much,
Chair. Honorable Mgweba, can honorable members, comrade, Honorable Mnyai, Honorable Wilson and Sheriff, stop your discussion on the site because you are distracting me. Over to you, Honorable Mgweba.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Good morning to both chairs, the minister, the honorable members, and the department. Let me then welcome the presentation by the Department of Health. And Chair, I've got two issues. One, as well as in the presentation, all the recommendation by the CGE has been presented. My question to the department is how many of the recommendations that has been implemented by the department? Why I'm raising this question, Chair, is that then I wish that the department clear a doubt from this portfolio committee and to the people of South Africa that the department is not attending to this matter. And secondly, Chair, I know that there is this matter that all of us, we are not really sure if it's true. Then my question then to the department is that, is there an immediate and long-term measures that have been put in place to protect these vulnerable women by the department? And thirdly, Chair, I think I wish to support and endorse the presentation by the department with the recommendations from the CGE. And however, Chair, also, I will then propose that the portfolio committees, both portfolio committees, give the department an opportunity to do its proper investigation without doubting the work of the department. And I will then also support what has been raised by Honorable Munyai, that in the next meeting, Chair, can we then invite the CTE to appear before the two portfolio committees for further discussions? But however, Chair, luckily, I'm comfortable with the presentation of the Department of Health, and let's then give them a benefit of doubt to deal with this matter urgently, and then our responsibility as both portfolio committees is to monitor and evaluate their responsibility to deal with this matter once and for all, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mukweba. Honorable Chairperson?
Yeah. No, thank you very much, my colleague, Honorable Chair, for really taking us through this meeting the way you have done. I had a communication with the minister yesterday, and gladly he's now in the Eastern Cape, and I thought members were going to ask less and less questions so that the minister can get space and time to just give us a sense of how things are in the Eastern Cape. But time is now gone, and the honorable members have really asked questions that were embedded in the report. But just to say, just 3 points. A week ago, the department came in to give us the annual performance report. And I don't know why it was so forgetful. In that report, there was a very clear indication of how much it has done in electronic records. Now, electronic records, you have to start somewhere. These records were kept in boxes and boxes by a long time ago, by those who were running the systems long time ago. Now, and some of our members were not even believing that the department has actually got all computers in all clinics, and all records are now being done electronically. There's a start, and therefore removing those boxes. Now, it is and this report talks to things that didn't happen yesterday or last year. It happened long time ago from what we gather from the report. So we should not be forgetful that there is a work in progress in terms of electronic data from the department into the system, as if that part is not there. But the sense of comfort I get from the report is that the minister continuously says, and I did come up at the time this matter rose, that it is not a policy of the department to sterilize without consent. And that if it's still the issue now, and therefore members who are working in the NIST just to be reminded, not that they need to be retrained, it's part of a policy. I would really wish that we go along with the recommendations that, among other things, this thing, Professor Sibotwane is really working on this, supporting the department, getting all those records cleared up, and caution ourselves from actually making it as if it is a fait accompli. Yes, so many, this is what had happened. That is what the commission has found, and this report has now been tabled to the department. The department, go find out, get us this information, clarify us, is this happening? Did it happen? In which way? Before really we actually make conclusions as this portfolio committees, I would wish that what has been recommended here, these quarterly reports, will be of great assistance in terms of where are we going before we can really make conclusions as to this is really how it happened. Thanks, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members and Chairperson. I think I'm partly covered by some of the questions that have been raised by honorable members. But I think the other questions that maybe I think they are very important, honorable members, is that remember CGE is constituted by commissioners. Other commissioners are doctors, of course, yes, but they were not the ones who examined the patients. We have received as the Portfolio Committee on Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities. We received a report from CGE, which as the Portfolio Committee, we raised our concerns in terms of the gaps that we have seen in the report. And also, we also questioned them with the issue of the ombudsman. But honorable members, all of us here, we don't know whether that report and those women were forcefully sterilized or not. The reason we have invited the department to come to this meeting so that they can give us a report on what is it that they've done after receiving the report from CGE. Today, the department is telling us on what is it that they have done. And also, they are adhering to some of the recommendations that the CGE has made on their report. But what is critical to us is that, remember in that report, two provinces were mentioned. But all of us, we don't know who commissioned the report and who are the doctors who were examining the patient and confirmed that really, if Unkanta or Umgweba was sterilized, ngempela this thing has happened. And what is it? What is the way forward that the department needs to take? All what we want the department to do now for us, Minister, is that one, the department, we have made a recommendation as a portfolio committee on health, on women, that the department needs to investigate all provinces if the same incidents have happened. Two, we are saying, a minister, we need to get a full detailed report from your department on the patient that the report have stated, because when CGA came to our portfolio committee to make a presentation, the report had no names attached to it. So what we want is that the department must cooperate with CGE so that at least all of us as a country, no one can tolerate any gross violation of human rights in any form, honorable members. It is the interest of us as honorable members that we see to it that no one violates anybody's human rights. In fact, because when we get a full detailed report from the department, whether the person has died or whether the person is still alive, whether those people who did it are no longer there, the department will come back and give us a report. Because what we need to get is the truth. Because there's no government policy that says or gives any individual, whether a nursing personnel, whether a doctor, a right to operate anybody without that patient's consent. In fact, we need to get to the bottom of this matter so that the department must tell us whether they did get consent forms from patients. You know, from my experience as a nurse, honorable members, there was no way that a patient will be done a major operation without a nurse explaining the whole procedure to the patient. Even the doctors, patients were given an opportunity to go back home and think, as Honorable Gela was saying, patients were given an opportunity to go back home to think based on the results that Minister listed on which cases was sterilization done. But in this case, it tells you that there was something that was unethical that was happening in the health facilities, which is what brought us to this report. So what we want the department to do is to, we are supporting the recommendations that they have made in terms of the investigation and writing the consent form in all languages so that our communities can understand when a nurse or a doctor is explaining a procedure to a patient on why is it important for the patient to do that operation, not Jay. And if there's an element of some health professionals who did that illegally without the patient's consent, then further steps must be taken by the department. Everybody must account for his or her actions.
together with the issue that Honorable Mnyaye raised in relation to advocates or lawyers or attorneys, because any unethical behavior by any professional person, that person must be taken, must be account for his or her actions. So, honorable members, we are going to deal with all these cases holistically. So what we are requesting the department to do is that, of course, yes, we'll have, first of all, what we want to do, honorable members, is that as members of parliament also, we have a responsibility to do oversight. We are going to invite also the women that are said to have been forcefully sterilized by the department. And we are going to do interviews. Of course, we are not going to examine the patients because it's not within our scope of practice, but the department is going to assist us after them also confirming if a person, because you can't just take a statement from a person. If I come to you, honorable members, today, and I tell you that I'm being sterilized, will you accept and say Ngempela Untanda has been sterilized? It cannot be correct. But what needs to be done by the department? The department needs to investigate further and check whether all these women Ngempela, they are being sterilized, so that they know what are they dealing up, what are they dealing with. We must not just take this issue at the top and not deal with the detailed part of it. We must go deeper and understand as honorable members, so that at the end of the day, when a report is tabled by the department, we know exactly how many women, for instance, other members are saying 48, other people are saying 18, and from our side, we can say 13. So we don't know. We need to get the correct figure on how many women were forcefully sterilized. Because in some of the reports of the records of the department, they are the department is saying the consent forms are there, but we can't deal with this issue in piecemeal. But we need to get the correct facts so that we know that the department staff personnel who have done all these wrong things must be charged. Everybody must account, honorable members. I now hand over to the minister and the department to respond to the questions that have been raised by honorable members. And we'll take it from the minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you very much to the honorable members for their comments and the questions. I think the starting point, Chairperson, must be neither the Portfolio Committee as public representatives or as citizens, nor the department as part of government would support any situation where anybody's body is violated by sterilization without their consent. Let's draw that line first, so that when we deal with this matter, we should not deal with it as though there's any effort from our side to wish this matter away or to try and cover any information from being shared publicly. I think it's important to say that, because I think if we're going to deal with the matter on the basis of suggesting that we're doubting each other's bona fides as we deal with this matter, it's not going to help. Now, let me agree with a lot of the things that you have just said, Chairperson. In the first instance, your experience and my experience about these kinds of procedures is the same. But the expectations for everyone else is the same. Nobody's body should be violated without their consent. Doesn't matter what it is. If there is any intervention to an individual, their consent is presumed on the basis of either a verbal request for intervention or a signed consent if the operation has got major implications on the person's body and the working of their body, and also that it might have something to do with their rights. So this issue of women who will get sterilized without any consent is not part of the government, but of the government policy. And if it did happen, it does need to be investigated. And as we are talking now, we're discussing on the basis of a set of complaints that came from CGE. Now, there are a number of things that you have raised. For example, we do agree that if there is anyone who would have been found to have done this without proper consent, that action would have to be taken on them as a transgression and unethical conduct. We also do agree that that the fact that there's an allegation does not necessarily mean that in fact the situation did happen. Among some of the people that there have been allegations about, as we go onto the records, there is no consent and there's no record of any operation of that nature having been done. That means that we cannot just take everything as alleged as though it is as true. That's why we've got a process. Then, of course, the explanation of people who might have been alive or retired should not be distorted. When I raised this, I was saying that there are challenges in getting the records. And unfortunately, we can't then go by interviewing individuals because those who could have been there at the time are no longer with us. It's not to say that there must be, there can't be an investigation because someone is retired and so on. So that should not be distorted. The issue is we're trying to get the records. And so one of the ways you go to the records of the institution, and if not, then you try and find out from people who would have been part of that institution at the time if they could recall. That's the basis on which we raise the issue of retired and passed away. It's not because we're saying that we can't act on them, so please don't distort it. Then you raise an issue of the cooperation between the CGE and the department. There's a historical issue here. This matter has been dragging for a while. I tried to find out why there would have been problems of cooperation. The issue actually arises from the fact that the CGE did not have adequate information which would assist the department to be able to get to all those records. So that is where the issue of poor cooperation came. Of course, we have actually gone into that and said that if we find that anyone would have done that, we would then take action on them. I've just taken offense at the fact that this information had not been brought to my attention at a particular time. And so that is the point I referred to at the opening slides of this presentation. And so we'll continue there to ensure that they've no one then fails to cooperate. But the problem of cooperation has been in the way that the processes prior to this report were conducted. There was quite a lot of misunderstanding that I can see was going on at that time. For one, the CGE report did not have names. So those who raised that issue, raised it because that report is very difficult to understand just as you sit and as it's being tabled. And I'm sure members, when they read it, they'll understand what I'm talking about. But nevertheless, we need to separate issues of methodology to the real issue which we're all concerned about. That's the abuse of human rights. So to the extent that the abuse of human rights is alleged, we all need to then stand together and say, let's find out what happened, even if there may well be issues of procedural inaccuracy or weaknesses in reports, et cetera, et cetera. So that should not deviate us from focusing on this. I suppose that all I can say at this point is that we have tried to bridge that gap so that between the department and the CGE, we should do as much as possible to cooperate with one another. And in this process, that was the reason why there had to be a meeting. In the first instance, I was the one who invited the CGE to come and tell us about the report. They didn't tell us that we invited them to a meeting. Then, of course, we started the dialogue. But in the process, we have moved to a point now where there were times when we asked them for names and details and so on, and they were not able to do so. They were not able to provide that to us. And then at some point, we then ultimately, in last week, we actually had the Director General meeting with the CGE just to compare notes and to say, okay, of the things that you had raised in the recommendations, this is how far we've gone and so on. As expected, we've actually complied with what would have been expected. And that is to, one, implement the recommendations, but two, to update them in terms of how far we are on the matter. Honorable Zomo, you're quite correct about the electronic records, patient electronic records. It's a very huge task, and I think we should also understand that it's not going to take a short time to get the thing fixed, because there are no records that were electronic in all of our hospitals. And so when those files get lost, it's all a historical thing that we are now trying to correct. And to correct it, we're actually trying to put up a whole electronic data system which covers from patient administrative registration records on the one side, looking at how it can also contain clinical records, electronic clinical records, as well as also management of our health systems electronically as well. It's going to be a huge amount of work, and there's a whole team that's been set together. And yes, just yesterday, we were actually taking a final policy that will ensure that every provincial government, whatever system that they employ, must be interoperable with the mainframe and all of the other provinces, so that we standardize a lot of these things, and this is going to take us forward. So anyone who wishes to know how far we are going to deal with those issues of e-filing, it takes a while. But, you know, there's work to be done going forward. There's also a different amount of work going back backwards, where we have to actually try and digitize all those records as you go backwards. So it's a lot of work. And even another few years' time, we still have a problem of lost records. I don't think we should be surprised, because that's been the system all along. And when we have to correct it going forward, at some point, we'll have to have that system corrected. And then we'll at least be able to say that it will take a few hours to be able to pick up all the information, as it were. But again, as Dr. Zomo has indicated, there is no policy of government to sterilize women without consent. And I also think it's important for us to also know that not necessarily all that might be claiming to have been sterilized may well have been sterilized. So it does need to be investigated, but take the allegations seriously and then do investigate as indicated. Then Honorable Mgweba is saying we need to protect vulnerable women. And precisely that, I think it's a very, very important point to make, that we all are about that. We're all about protecting women, women's rights and human rights. And so we need to never lose focus on that issue. And I agree with all the members concerned when it comes to that particular aspect. But I do agree as well that we need to be given the opportunity to complete this investigation. We may require frequent reports that may not take us very far. I think that there should be substantive progress that is able to bring us back, so that we are able to give you, as a portfolio committee, a kind of decent a kind of report. The issues raised by Honorable Sengwa, yes, indeed, the commission and the department have now come together. We are able to work together on this matter. And from here on going forward, I do think that the CGE, the commission can only do investigation if they're working with the department. Because that's where all the expertise lies, and that's where there shouldn't be a reason for too much of divergence, because there has to be one line. This is all government, these different institutions of government. So we must treat it like that. And yes, indeed, issues of accountability and leadership have to come into this. I do agree with that statement. But if we were to just deal with some of the rest of the other questions as well, the nature of the report that we have does not give you enough to be able to even identify any individual that could have been said to be culpable or liable for any action there. In the report of the CGE, there's no such. And it does not, even though the CGE has asked that the Health Professions Council and the Nursing Council must investigate the matter, the flaw is that those institutions can investigate a particular individual who's a member of the council on the basis of unethical conduct when the name and the action is reported to them. And in the CGE report, there's no such. And therefore, we have had a discussion with the Professions Council and the Nursing Council, who have said they have actually received the report. And we then indicated to them that because we believe that there's a lot of information still needed, it would be good that we keep sharing whatever information we have. Now, which doctors are therefore implicated, nobody knows, because that report of this commission does not have that, and the available records that we have right now aren't really showing any clear line of culpability. And I think this is very, very important that we must deal with this thing. We're saying the patient's files are not available, and we are reconstructing those where we can. The affidavits from the patients are not available to the department. Until 3-4 days ago, they were not available. So even though someone is saying that we have now got affidavits, I think just to be aware that we only got them a few days ago. After the chairperson of the commission wrote to us and said they can now give us access. They did have the affidavits. They now say they have authority to give us access. Now, if you want to investigate this issue, you need all the information, and so this was not available at the time. So part of the debate between the department and the commission has been around that issue. That's why this issue has been kind of dragging on. But the other one has also been the fact that the records are very difficult to get. And this, I think, we keep saying, and that's why I was explaining the e-filing process, how far we are. We can only know how many women would have been sterilized once we've done a proper investigation. In this case, we are waiting on the numbers that people that have raised complaints. So those who have raised complaints are the ones who are investigating. I'm not sure what would be the implications of going to every province and so on when we are actually struggling on the ones where we've got some kind of lead information to actually go to others where we don't even have any allegation about those. So it's something that we'll have to sit down and look at and see how do we deal with that. So there's no action that could have been taken on anybody until we know individually that they were liable. At this point, we have not got that yet, that far yet. And then we have tabled here the implementation of the recommendation from the CGE. We have actually acted on all of them. Some are at different levels, some are in progress. And so we will then be working with the commission to see that they would be satisfied with how far they have gone. And so in terms of all the issue of you know, any possibility anybody could have gone ahead and done a sterilization without the consent, it's unthinkable. It's unthinkable, but if it did happen, then we need to understand what actually was going on there. And so I think that those who feel that the matter does need urgent attention, I think we're all together on that. Now, the investigation has got to be seen in various ways. There was some investigation done by the commission, and as I say, it was inadequate. What we are doing will take us further. It may also not be adequate because it will depend on how many people we are able to find, how many records we can find. So we will continue with that. At the time when the commission raised 38 complaints, all that they could bring with concrete information was the 18. We hope that out of the affidavits, we might be able to fill up the gap. And if they say there are new affidavits as well, we'll probably find that the 48 might not have been the right answer. So we will still have to continue for this. But we must also try and work on it with an understanding that we will find out what happened. But to make a sweeping statement that it's been happening all over and all women are having that problem, I think we must avoid that, because we need to go on the basis of what information we have so that we can investigate. And then the issue of the ombudsperson is part of the process, but it's not like on the forefront. We have indicated that there's going to be a need for us to go through a number of the people. Now, if people don't need religious counseling, it's not a problem. But we will actually have psychologists as well. But we've been asked to actually work on engagement and counseling. And so we've provided what we believe is best. Then there was a question about what are life-saving emergencies. As a matter of fact, there is no sterilization that can be undertaken on the basis of an emergency intervention. None. However, certain emergency interventions can result in sterilization. And there are only two instances that I can think of, and I'm not saying that that's all. One is an instance where you've got ectopic pregnancy where there's already a damaged fallopian tube on the other side. And therefore, in your intervention, you will actually not save anyone from ectopic pregnancy unless you destroy you tie up and ligate the one tube where the pregnancy was. So that's one situation. When the person emerges, they would not know that they may not have been able to get pregnant after that. But they'll then be explained to that one tube was already damaged, the other tube was at an ectopic pregnancy, and therefore that means you will not get another pregnancy through the normal channel. The second one is a situation where there's uterine rupture, where in the process of delivery, you then discover that the only way of stopping the bleeding or repairing the damage is actually to remove the uterus, but you can't wait until the person wakes up, because then they will actually lose their lives. Those are the only two. They are not sterilization. They are intervention that results in someone not being able to this thing. So when we're looking at the cases now, we are looking at the cases from a clinical understanding of whether it makes sense that this was done or not. Not that there's a clear record that the person was forcibly sterilized. We now have to look at whether we can even infer. That's the kind of thing that we're going to end up doing. So I don't think we must understand this to be a very simple case, a simple exercise. Then, of course, the other members were saying that, you know, as far as we know, women would be asked to and be given time to talk about sterilization. It's very few instances when you have to get an emergency consent signed for that. That's generally not common. That's how we'll be able to understand that. And indeed, the issue around the advocates, we will follow it up. I will try and just understand what actually happened, and then we'll follow that up. But the issue of the commission's report and having lots of gaps is not criticizing it. It's just being factual about it. So we work together so that we can close those gaps. And that At this point, I can only undertake that there will be good cooperation between all of us, and that where the, particularly because now we've got the information that we've been requesting, once we've got that, we'll then be able to take it forward. Now, they've actually, I'm told by the Director General, that they're now asking for other specialists to work with them on taking other investigation further. We'll discuss that with them. And so there shouldn't be a sense that we will end up with any further tensions amongst us. But I think what I want to just put on the table is the fact that this investigation is not very easy. It's not easy. At this point, we don't know who would have done what. But even to confirm that this sterilization did take place, in some instances, it may not be that easy. Even if there's an allegation, we'll need to go into an investigation at that level, which might not be a simple investigation. For example, we have even started indicating what procedures would need to be done to confirm if that happened or not. They also carry a risk because you have to anesthetize those people. And the question is whether the individual does want to go through a risk of an anesthetic for that matter to be confirmed or not. That's another issue there. Then the issue of having to now work out between the patient and the nurses or those professionals. But here is a consent signed. But do you say you didn't sign consent? Now, that's why the commission, we agree with that. Let's go back and look at the procedures in the language and the explanations and tighten up at that level. We've actually said that, Professor Subutwane, once we've done the report needs to be discussed with the Society of Gynecologists and Obstetricians so that we widen the policy approach and close the gaps as we go forward. You may close the gap without being able to find somebody culpable in any way. So those are the issues from where we sit, Chairperson, but certainly if there would be anyone that we think was wrongfully operated, we'll certainly make sure that those who are responsible take responsibility and that we take the processes through as would be justifiable. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Minister. Is there any follow-up question?
My Chairperson.
Okay, Honorable Pansarin.
Thank you very much, Madam Chairperson. Now, I agree, and I think the Honourable Minister is also correct when he said, if no consent forms were signed or no opportunity given to a patient to go and think about such a matter, when it was done without permission and that patient, human rights was violated. And it's really disturbing to hear something like this really happening in our hospitals and clinics. And this needs to stop, and investigations need to be done and justice must take its course. So therefore, Madam Chairperson, the recommendations, you have said earlier, you've listed a lot of things when you talked previously before the Minister, and I agree with you 100% what you have said there. And I think, Honourable Minister, this is a serious challenge we are looking on the horizon to tackle, but I think if we tackle it with a good heart and we tackle it effectively, we can stop these sort of matters in our clinics and hospitals. Thank you very much, Honourable Minister and Honourable Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Van Staden. Honourable Sharif?
Honourable Minister, given your feedback and the inadequacies that you've pointed out in the CGE report, I want to find out, do you believe that this is happening, that this is actually happening? Or are you suggesting that the report doesn't give enough evidence to prove that this is happening? I'm just a little bit confused on your thinking about it, so I just want some clarity there.
Okay, Honorable Khwarizmi.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's Kwakube.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, no worries. Minister, I know that we are probably out of time, and this is probably a matter that is slightly separate to the other committee that is joining us. However, I do think, I just want to raise with you that obviously there is a crisis that is unfolding in the Eastern Cape, and if there is time, Chair, with your indulgence, perhaps the Minister can give us 5 minutes to just tell us what he has found in the Eastern Cape with the rising cases of COVID-19 and the apparent sort of collapsing of the system, particularly in the NMB area. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. The chair have raised that also. Honorable Munyayi.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think the response of the minister really clears all the perceived allegation, because everything has to be scientifically proven. I think we are some of us or some of the members would have come to a really pre-conclusion that this has happened. Some human rights have been violated before even issues are properly clarified, you know, whether that concern was written or not. Because I think the minister's response and your facilitation out, you know, remarks has been very helpful in that regard. So on my part, it's really to appreciate that response, because it gave us clarity rather than a lot of noise that seeks to conclude before a specific matter by merit has been really fully investigated.
You are done, Honorable Munyayi?
Done, and I would not want to waste the time of the minister.
Okay.
I think through your permission, you can go to very important comment.
Okay, thank you very much, honorable members. Thank you very much, Minister, for your response. And I will now hand over to you, Minister, so that at least you can talk to the issue of what is happening in Nelson Mandela Bay. And then I'll hand over to the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Health. And thank you very much, honorable members, for giving me this opportunity to chair this session. Over to you, Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'd like to start by just saying, I think the important point that's raised by Mr. Honorable Van Staden is that of accepting bona fides and good faith as we deal with this matter. We can't be fighting about whether it was right or wrong for people to be sterilized without their permission. There's no question like that. It can't happen. We know, everybody knows. It's even before with the Human Rights Commission, human rights in the Constitution. You know, you just don't do that. And so I think we mustn't, therefore, when we deal with this matter, create an impression that amongst us, others might not want to find the truth on this matter. I think that's very, very important. So I appreciate that. The second issue, Honorable Sharif, the allegation is strong enough to be investigated. It should no longer be a matter of whether we believe it happened or not. What I think is important is for us to be able to try and find out what is the truth. Why are the women complaining that they were violated? And if they say they were, let's find out and let's investigate until we can prove that it was not so. So why do they think so? And if that is the case, then everything else doesn't matter. It's almost as simple a question as saying, somebody walks in and says, somebody stole my money. And you have to assume that there's a merit in the allegation, even if you don't have proof until you have investigated and say we can't find no evidence, then that's different. So I think let's all move on the basis that whether you believe it or not, it no longer matters. What matters is that the women are saying they were abused. And because they are saying so, our duty is to go into checking what actually happened. And in this case, there is no explanation for anyone to actually say, yes, we sterilized the Mrs. A because she was HIV positive. There was no such policy. So you're on your own when you do that. So you must explain where did you get that from? Now, I'm not saying that we know for a fact. And it's very, very important that we must approach it very sensitively, because it is possible that a misunderstanding can arise. It is possible somebody could have done it. It is possible that anything, but we will find with the evidence. And as Honorable Munyayi is saying, let's try and work on scientific proof so that we know what we're talking about. And I think if we get given that opportunity, I'm quite comfortable now that we will get as much information as there is available when we work together with the commission. And our understanding at this point is that we must all get to the bottom of it. And so whatever the extent to which they will do, where we think it's inadequate, we'll move on. In this case, we've got instances, as I was saying, of people where there's authority, there's a consent. So there's not much of a case of whether that's where they were forced or not. There's consent. Now, the two things which you need to sort out. The first one is that, can you find conclusive evidence that, in fact, this was a forced consent? You may or may not find it. If you don't, then you then go on to the clinical assessment of whether, if in a normal clinical practice, you would do a sterilization under such situations. Then we begin to take up the issue at that level. So that's the good faith about, you know, about investigating this matter. Honorable Kwakhube, the issue of Eastern Cape is very important, but I think we don't have the time for it. All I can say, Honorable Chairperson, is that all the provinces, their own peaks at different times, and the Free State and the Northern Cape had their peaks last, and so their numbers were still up. But most of the other provinces, including the Eastern Cape, were already showing numbers much lower. So we had moved from a level of about 13,000 positive cases during the peak per day. We had gone down to about 1,000 or so cases. But now those numbers have started creeping up. And as they creep up, we see that the increase is actually coming from Eastern Cape and Western Cape. More significant, the Eastern Cape, is that it's now on a daily basis, it becomes responsible for between 50 and 55% of new positive cases recorded. But all our indications on the ground are that the numbers of people who are positive is increased, particularly in Nelson Mandela Bay. The numbers of people who are dying is also noted. The number of people who are being admitted and in the ICU. So it's beginning to, it's a cluster outbreak that's beginning to respond to what we define as a resurgence. Whether that's already the next whole wave or not is going to depend on how successful we are in containing it in that area. But I must say that it's not only that one. Buffalo City is showing, Sarah Parkman is also showing. And of course, the Garden Route on the Western Cape is also showing. So that means that there's a whole area which we need to be focusing on. The key of the issues which we want to go and deal with there is the management of the whole system, because we need to check why, when there are still empty beds, but you're still having a problem of people reporting full casualties and or outpatient areas. So I'll be going there to look at the issues of human resources right at a local institutional level. We'll also be looking at the organization of the system at local level and the availability of some of the equipment, oxygen and so on the local level. All of these are issues that we're going to be looking into. But when we've got more time, with a presentation, if it was possible at that time, we could have looked at that. But I think we will come back and give you a proper presentation. Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, Minister. Honorable Wilson, don't forget to finish us with the list of facilities who are keeping files in the toilet so that the department can be able to deal with that case. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, for reminding us of that. I forgot. Yes, we do need to know that list. Thank you very much. Sorry to interrupt.
Thank you, Minister. Over to you, Chair.
Well, no, thank you very much for really taking us through this process. Just 2 points on my side. You have put me in a very difficult position, my co-chair, because now we have made my members understand that there's a second helping in this meeting. You have been a motherly chairperson. I don't usually give a second helping. Now, in future, they will force me to do so.
Indeed, Chairperson, indeed.
Honorable members, the closing remarks of the minister are indeed giving us a direction that this is not the end of him coming in to brief us on this matter. He is working on the report that was tabled by the commission and therefore there will be a validation of that report by his department, and then we'll be appraised of that. So with that, honorable members, I think we should then rest with the information that something which is of concern is being investigated, and we are going to be finished with the progress report in that regard. And that is how I think we should really close our meeting. Thanks, Minister, for briefing us about that. But in case maybe you do find an evening slot where we could just be getting this Eastern Cape report, we'll be checking with the department, those who are working with us closely, as to when that could just happen, just to have a meeting where we listen to. I'm sure maybe Honorable Ndaba may not mind if they are not maybe joining us, if they are held up by other processes. But if you can just get a slot anytime in the next 7 days, we'll be liaising with the minister's office just to get to know what is happening in the Eastern Cape and the other areas which he's concerned about. Thanks. Can we then stand the meeting adjourned, Honorable Member? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson.